Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Thanks for being here with us on The Advertising Show. It's Ray Schillens along with Brad Forsyth. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Good stuff today, by the way. We've got, in just a few moments away, Gene Bliss, the customer experience. Hire those with dash and daring. So if you're looking for somebody, she's got some good advice there. Dash and daring. It sounds like a morning show. And Shamin Abbas with us a little bit later on this hour. Editorial is what she'll be talking about, our activist for excellence. And we have a very special guest, John Gentry, who is president of Spot Runner, Inc. And they're out of Los Angeles, and we'll tell you more about John and more about the company. Of course, you're going to learn that during the interview as well. So a lot of good stuff and good reasons to stick around here at theadvertisingshow.com with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. What is that you've got there? What is that?
Well, yeah, before I get into that, I wanted to Dash and Daring. Isn't that an ad agency there in Texas? No,
Dad,
a great name.
I don't know about Texas or not. It is a great name, but that's pretty good. Dash.
Hey, you know, oh, I'm sorry. What?
Go ahead.
Well, no. Are you a big fan of Mad Men? You watch that at all, Ray?
Yeah, I sure wish it was more mainstream and more people could find out about it because it is a good show.
Yeah, it really is. If nothing more than just capturing the time element of late 50s, early 60s and the culture, American culture and business and so forth. I don't think I could have worked back then, Ray. My liver, and I don't think I could drink that much. Do you? Although I've seen you in action.
I don't think either one of us would want to find that out exactly, okay?
So, yeah, well. Anyway, I wanted to mention this. 6 CBS and 4 ABC primetime shows added more than 1 million viewers each during premiere week this past September when 7-day DVR viewing was factored in, according to Nielsen, live plus 7-day rating data. CBS had the most shows gaining 1 million or more viewers of any network, but the show gaining the largest number of viewers with DVR viewing, Ray, included was ABC's Grey's Anatomy, which is no surprise there, which added 2.7 million to its total viewership. And I found this interesting because, you know, finally this DVR plus 7-day plus viewing data is catching up, and you know we're talking about over 1 million viewers in some cases for these programs. I don't know about you, a lot of DVR viewership around our household. You?
Oh, absolutely! It's a great idea, yeah. And you know they now say that even the DVRs and the TiVos and all that kind of stuff, we still catch the ads, we still see them, and we still perceive what they're trying to tell us, which is a good thing, I guess, for the advertising industry. But yeah, DVRs are great, and found the finer aspects of finding a high definition TV this past weekend. It was a blast.
Oh, really?
And I say that facetiously. Well, actually, it's a Philips Magnavox.
Yeah.
And it was one heck of a deal. It's a very, very nice TV and very well put together. And obviously, it's got a great picture. But I also found the less than scrupulous salespeople at some of these places that we will not mention, or else we'll probably get sued. But anyway, you know who you are, okay? And you have to live with yourself every day. So
sounds like somebody.
Have a
somebody,
nice day, bud.
Yeah, well, you know, if they ever get out of that business, I guess they could get in the car business.
Exactly. Yeah, I know the dealership they can go to. Whatever the results are, November the 4th, and it is coming ever so close, we're already prepared to declare, this is according to a publication called Politico, the winner of the election. And they say it's going to be YouTube. Founded in February of 2005, the free video sharing web service is the killer application of the cycle. Consider the facts first. They say YouTube is stealing time and attention from older broadcast media. The 60 years that the top three TV networks have been broadcasting, they have produced about 1.5 million hours of content. assuming for argument's sake that they've been broadcasting 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. That is the equivalent of about 6 months worth of YouTube uploads. Did you hear? That's 60 years of content and the equivalent of 6 months worth of YouTube uploads. So the winner is YouTube.
Yeah.
It's a good place to go.
And by the way, that's not a commercial. I haven't done this yet. Well, next, if you ever hear John McCain give a speech, it can become a drinking game. Every time he says, my friends, you got to take a drink. You won't last more than 10 minutes in any of his speeches, but it'll be an interesting game to play.
Poor John. Poor John.
My friends.
Yes, exactly. There we go. There's another one. It's Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. As we told you, we've got Jean Bliss with us, the customer experience, and she's telling us to hire those with dash and daring. So if you're qualified, I would apply. Absolutely. Let's find out what that's all about.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
Hire those with dash and daring. Indications are that this financial crunch will take some time to recover. Profile the type of person who will thrive with customers in this type of economic environment. Listeners, creative thinkers, and naturally service-oriented people for those serving and interacting with customers. Hire for passion and the natural ability to empathize. Find leaders who find the glass half full and can motivate creativity and inspire creative solutions. And while these skills are always desired, if you want to emerge above the rest, they are a necessity when times are tough. Amy's Ice Cream, a beloved place in Austin, Texas, actually has their applicants make a creation out of a white paper bag instead of filling out a boilerplate application form. What's your particular brand of experience that you're delivering? And what can you do differently in the interview to make sure you've got a match for that job?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Thank you, Jean Bliss, on the Advertising Show. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, about to bring on John Gentry, who is president of SpotRunner, Inc., a technology company that is in developing the next generation of advertising services. In addition to helping manage the day-to-day activities of the company, John also leads marketing services, which includes both the local and national divisions, which we'll find out more about that. John hooked up with SpotRunner back in 05, started as the chief revenue officer. He counted the money at the end of the day, overseeing all sales and business development activities, strategic partnerships, media distribution relationships, and customer care. That's a lot of hats to wear. Prior to SpotRunner, John was the chief revenue officer at Green Dot, the market leader in the prepaid debt card industry. That's great. He also led the company's efforts to build out multiple channels of distribution, including expansion of retail distribution network, new channels of car distribution, and the Green Dot Financial Network. And he's been around. We're talking to John. He's in California this weekend, so we'll bring him on in just a moment. What can you say in less than 20 seconds here, Brad?
Well, I would say, based on what you just said about John, probably when he did first start there, he could have counted their incoming revenue at his desk in 05, but the funds that they raised for their company, SpotRunner, you would have to go to a bank to review.
That would be a good idea, yeah. And get it in dollar bills. On the Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. Hope you stay with us. What's coming up next?
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
These are the three largest selling soft drinks. Now, let's have a look and see what makes them so popular. As you can see, this one is a cola.
John Gentry is our special guest here today at The Advertising Show. John is president of Spot Runner. You got to wear, I guess, running shoes to work there, John, or something. Welcome to the show.
Not exactly. We're a technology company bringing the next generation of advertising services.
That
well,
too.
We're going to give you a chance, John, here to describe for us the value proposition for both the advertisers as well as the media companies for those that may not be familiar with Spot Runner.
Super. I'm happy to do that. It's when you think about Spot Runner, we've really got three sides to our business. We've got a local business which is focused on enabling local advertisers to be successful, and we serve them in a couple different ways through a couple different platforms, primarily through television and online. So we allow local advertisers to market their businesses in their local market across the most powerful broadcast medium and then catch many of those leads in many cases through local search and local display. Our second part of our business, our national business, works with large national brands and even smaller national brands that are really focused on thinking about how to acquire customers on a cost-effective basis. So we do a lot around really measuring the impact of TV and thinking about how to make TV, you know, tie much more, be much closer to the web in terms of its measurability and countability as a media type. The third side of our business, which is newer, is our media platforms business. And that's where we're putting some technology solutions in place, really working with some of the largest media sellers and media buyers across the country.
Yeah. And so just historically, when Spot Runner first began, you guys were targeting solely the local cable advertiser, correct?
Yeah, that's right. We were very focused on local advertisers in markets, many of whom have never had the ability to advertise on television, and so we brought a web-based solution that allowed them to get very affordable creative and actually customize a media plan and purchase a media plan online, really opening up kind of a new class of advertisers to cable advertising.
So it was both. For some reason, I thought I recalled when you first launched the website that it was solely creative and that you were offering, creative for cable that advertiser and Market X could log on to your site and purchase if they're in the jewelry business or car business or whatever their particular business category and can purchase spots that would be customized for their particular business. And I didn't realize, was that also
seems like it
media?
Was, Brad. Yeah, yeah, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, was there also media buying services that were offered at the same time, Jeff?
The platform from launch was a full-service solution, so you could identify a creative that you liked, customize that creative for your business, identify your marketing objectives. We would tap into reams of data to pull back data from the specific market that you're in and build, with algorithms, a media plan that you can actually purchase that through the website.
And,
to your point, when you mentioned jewelers, we actually leveraged that platform shortly after coming to market and saw a lot of large national companies that wanted to take advantage of that platform as a way to bring television advertising to some of their local affiliates, like Coldwell Banker and Century 21 are two examples.
Oh, cool.
I see. Yeah, I'd like to drill down and understand a little bit more about the media buying process that you guys do, and we'll do that next segment. But for now, give us a little sense of how you guys make money. Describe your revenue model, John.
Sure. So it's the way we make money is very similar to an advertising agency, and we make money on the creative and we make money on the media. So we're getting a commission on the actual dollars being spent by the advertiser in the marketplace.
I got you. And no particular minimums for advertisers, I assume?
We've set some very low minimums just around what we feel that the likely thresholds are for advertiser success. But depending on the markets you're in, you know, if you're in Kansas, as an example, it would probably be, you know, a $500 to $1,000 minimum. If you're in Los Angeles, it might be a $1,500 minimum.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Well, speaking of minimums and dollars spent, what are your thoughts on current state of the economy relative to the future of advertising for the near term?
I think we're moving into a particularly challenging time over the next 12 to 24 months. You know, the last kind of big decline we saw was 2002 after 9/11, and I think this could rival that. It's going to be a challenging time for the immediate future.
Does this bode well for your company? I mean, does your business model rather expect, you know, greater
kind of fallout from this? Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I think that these type of downturns work to the advantage of, over time, companies that are focused on measurable, accountable media. And everything we're focused on is helping an advertiser understand what the actual return on their dollars spent are. At the same time, this is pretty unique in how widespread it is, so obviously it could impact everybody to a certain degree. But we feel, in terms of the types of companies that will be successful in this environment, you know, we're the type, because we're much more focused on driving that accountability and letting people understand, for a dollar in, are you getting a $1.25 or $1.50 back out of that investment?
Yeah. So who's SpotRunner's primary competition? Local ad agencies, the local TV and cable rep? Who?
You know, we really sit in kind of a unique niche. We don't really bump into too many people with what we do. We haven't found anybody kind of straight in our space. There's other people that play in the space. You mentioned the local cable television reps. Those guys actually like us a lot, because what we're doing with our tools and technology is bringing new advertisers into the fold. We're expanding the size of the local market. So we really, you know, kind of across our business, because we've been one of the early ones to really think about bringing technology into advertising, particularly offline advertising, we're still, you know, there's not too many people doing it. So we're kind of alone in what we're doing.
And it's a win-win for everybody, too, here. With Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, John Gentry, so our special guest here. SpotRunner is the company. John is the president. SpotRunner.com. You ought to go there if you haven't been there and check it out. More with John and Ray and Brad here on The Advertising Show is coming up next.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Stronger than dirt.
Imagine that, an advertising campaign with ROI and a great commercial all wrapped up into one pretty little bundle called SpotRunner. SpotRunner.com is our the company we're talking about today. John Gentry is president of SpotRunner. John, it sure is a pleasure to have you here on The Advertising Show. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, just to finish up on your comment about cable TV reps, I assume that since they're happy, then I would assume that the advertiser, once they log on and transact with SpotRunner, that a local cable rep is servicing that account. Do I understand that correctly?
Actually, we work directly with the companies in many cases, so that we've got direct feeds into them. If you look at kind of how we've built out our business, we not only work in the local kind of hyper-local neighborhood areas, but we also work across the broader DMA. So we buy multiple forms of media, not just cable. We also buy broadcast television, and in some cases we'll do radio in some of our larger partnerships.
Hmm. So there would be no need for duplication in terms of a local rep following up with a local business. You guys have your customer service in that follows up with that particular advertiser.
We work with a lot of advertisers that come through our partnerships, and then we bring those into our media partner, whether it be radio or local TV or local broadcast. It could be any of the above.
Gotcha. So you mentioned last segment about how an advertiser, fills out information or speaks to someone about their business and who they're targeting, et cetera. Is this, I want to get a little greater detail about that. Is this an automated process? Is there someone on the other end of a phone taking this information? Take us through that.
So we've got an automated platform where you can come in on a self-serve basis and identify your creative and work through your media plan and place your buy. What we found in my previous career, having been at the intersection of technology and advertising for a little while now, is that any time you've got a model like that, you can often create, you know, some great synergies around giving people the ability to talk to a person. So when you come into the SpotRunner platform, if you want to pick up the phone and talk to somebody, you can. What we found that does is typically it's a great investment on both sides of the equation. The advertiser typically gets a couple simple questions answered. They understand your product a little bit better. Their satisfaction typically goes up. And correspondingly, you know, their happiness with SpotRunner goes up, so it works out better for us in terms of long-term client retention.
Yeah, with all the talk about leveraging the Internet to create a platform to streamline the inefficiencies, I guess, associated with traditional media buying and selling, a little over a month ago, John, Google announced that they had struck a deal with NBC to help sell ad units for some of their cable net properties, but before we get into that, I'm curious, John, what are your thoughts on Google's ongoing effort to automate the buying of traditional media, not only cable, but other variety of media categories? They seem to be struggling in a lot of those areas, and yet you guys seem to have figured out, I guess, a system that works.
Well, Google's brought a very different paradigm into the marketplace. They come from the world of search, where it's common to go in and say, give me your inventory, I will monetize it for you. I will set the pricing models on for it, and I will bring the advertisers in. Their first move into the offline space was the acquisition of a company called DMARC in the radio space. Mm-hmm. And DMARC had a product that took over the ad serving at the station level. And, you know, they didn't get a lot of traction because they came in with that same model of just let me take over your ad serving, let me take over your inventory. And the difference between the online and offline environment is, in the offline environment, whether it be a radio person or whether it be a TV person, they've been selling this inventory for, you know, 20, 30, 50 years, and they have a real strong belief around how the best they can sell it, how they protect themselves, how the media does not get commoditized. And I think Google's just brought a really interesting model into bear, and I think they're having a hard time convincing the people across the online landscape, offline landscape, that their model is going to be better for them than the way they've already sold it for 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, I agree, and that's what I've seen as their struggle as well. So what's your reaction to the Google deal with NBC?
I think it's, we're in a market time and a climate where you're going to see people exploring new and different ideas. I think that what you're going to find is as the market tightens up, you're going to see across the landscape a lot of the different media sellers think about different ways to move their inventory. If you look at what the cable companies are doing with Canoe, where they're trying to bring more addressability and more targeting across their entire platform, what we're really seeing is that, you know, when media tightens up and when the markets get tough, that's when you see a lot of development in new business models. Earlier in my career, I was instrumental in the development of paid search, which is Google's business model. I was with a company that invented that model. And we really took hold when the dot-com bust took place in 2000, 2001. Online travel, similarly, getting all the hotels to put their inventory into online travel sites like Orbitz and Expedia, really took off actually after 9/11, when all of a sudden all of the travel business really got hurt. That's when people started putting their inventory into marketplaces. And I think we'll see the similar thing, you know, this upcoming year is going to be a very tight year for media, and I think you're going to see more adoption of new and different ways to do business.
Hmm. So your new gig as president, any changes in your personal or family life? Do they have a picture of you at home?
No changes whatsoever. To my kids, I'm still just dad. It's been fun. We have a lot of fun over here. We've got a great group of people, and it's a pleasure to get to do my job.
Yeah, and you guys, Ray, how much time do we have left in this segment?
Well, actually, not a lot of time. So let's hold off on a question here until we get back for the break here. John Gentry is our special guest. John is president of SpotRunner out of California. It's SpotRunner.com. They even have a cute little dog as a mascot there. I wonder if the dog has a name. I would imagine it's probably Spot, right? We've got theadvertisingshow.com being powered by Shipple.com. It's a cool marketing platform. Check it out. It involves a thing called Tendency at S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. Back in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy.
Alka-Seltzer. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe is our special guest today on The Advertising Show. John Gentry is president of SpotRunner, SpotRunner.com. If you don't know about SpotRunner, check it out. It's kind of a cool place. John, welcome back to the show. Thanks for spending time with us.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, I understand that SpotRunner recently hired former Interpublic CEO Mark Rosenthal as head of media platforms. So I'm curious, John, what will Mark be working on for the short term here?
So our media platforms business is one of our more nascent businesses, and what it is really, it's a group dedicated to building technological platforms to facilitate the buying and selling of media. So we'll work with folks such as large media sellers such as CBS or large agencies such as WPP or IPG to think about new and different ways that we can apply technology to address issues around efficiency, address issues around matching the right advertiser with the right right inventory, reporting, et cetera. Mark, as you know, prior to IPG, ran MTV, and he's been a great guy to kind of come in and lead that platform development. We're really excited about the potential there.
Yeah, you mentioned WPP, IPG, as well as CBS. Interestingly enough, three of your original investors in your company, and I'm curious, this past May, SpotRunner announced that they'd raised another $51 million in funding from a diverse group of investors, including international media giants like Daily Mail, as well as Grupo Televisa. The $51 million was in addition to the $60 million already raised, so what are you guys doing with all this cash, John?
He's counting it.
We're invested to build out the new technologies and go after the advertising space. What we've seen is that our investors really like the fact that we're going after an enormous category. When you think about the size of advertising and you think about the investment that's gone into just online advertising, and yet online advertising pales in comparison to the size of traditional offline media. And as one of the early companies of bringing technology to the offline media space, we found that our investors really feel that we've got an opportunity that's unique and that we're in the right place at the right time. So, you know, that's our focus, is really continue to drive against the original mission.
Well, any news you want to announce here on the show? And we are looking for a scoop here, John.
Nothing for today. I apologize.
No worries.
Well, say hi to the family, John. You can do that as well. Yeah. That's what they usually do. Yeah. Hi, Mom.
Yeah. Hi, Mom.
So, yeah, I'm curious. Where would advertisers and media companies expect to see SpotRunner in, say, 2-3 years down the road?
So in terms of kind of our evolution, as you think about us, I think what you'll see is that both for the direction that we're taking and also the direction that the broader industry is going in, I think you're going to see continued convergence. And what I mean by that is that SpotRunner is at the forefront of bringing these technological platforms and applying technology. And at the same time, given what's going on across the landscape in terms of the fragmentation of media, in terms of kind of the need to apply technology into media, and I think also the toughening media market, what you're going to see is both on the agency side and also on the large media publisher side, there's increasing move to thinking about new and different ways to sell their inventory. And that's going to require tools on both sides of the equation. And I think what you'll see is a company in SpotRunner that's kind of right at the forefront and playing a leadership role in the evolution and development of those tools and technologies to kind of change the way that media is bought and sold.
Any plans to enter into other media categories, print, outdoor?
We actually do some work in some other media categories in terms of kind of building platforms against them. We will be building platforms against those, but not in the near term. Right now we're very focused on our core video offering around TV.
Smart.
Well, Ray, any questions for John?
Well, we are very familiar with your company, John. It was a really cool idea to begin with. And obviously a lot of people have taken advantage of it. What I like about the fact, it is pro-media, it's pro-marketing, pro-advertising, and what you're doing is really helping helping a lot of people out there that really might not understand what's going on with advertising and marketing to do a little bit better job of that. And obviously through the help of SpotRunner and your systems and your product, you've done well, John. So congratulations. You just got there and you already did great. I love that. But anyway, we are out of time here on the Advertising Show. John, continued success, and go visit the site, okay? It's spotrunner.com. John, thanks for being a guest on the show.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Back in just a minute with more with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 international creative awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way. The Open Ad Way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, OPENAD.net. Creative solutions on demand.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
You know me. Would you believe I'm Bugs Bunny? I'm also the voice of many other cartoon characters. But in here, they don't care
this
if I'm
This is The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. So glad you're able to join us today to hear more about SpotRunner and meet John, the brand new president of SpotRunner. And what a nice guy, too. Great concept and a cool company, obviously. Tom Neverell is with us next week. Tom is the president and CEO of Story Brand Consulting, and he's going to be joining us next week here at the Advertising Show. Shamin Abbas coming up just momentarily, I think. Is that right? Yes.
Yeah.
And today she's talking about advertorial editorials. So we'll see what that's all about. Sounds like a made-up word, and at least one of them is, so we'll see what she's talking about as well. You know, the printing industry, the publications, the newspapers, the magazines, all having a tough time, except for one. Could you guess which one is just absolutely flourishing and going crazy?
The Economist.
No. Comic books. Comic books. The Dark Knight, Iron Man are two of the biggest movies in the American multiplex so far this year. It has become rote that superheroes rule the box office, just as the conventional wisdom is that the old print comic book is a dying art form. It has found a new lease on life in on-screen iterations. But there's a secret about comics that's been hiding in plain view. This is from CNN Money. It says, at Marvel Entertainment, the industry's largest player, revenues for its print wares have been growing double digits for the past 3 years. Profit margins have been running at close to 40%. Plenty of magazine, book, or newspaper publishers would put on a mask. Maybe that's what they need to do. Or a cape, or even giant bunny ears. Could you imagine that? If that's what it took to generate those kinds of numbers, especially right now. So, if you're in that industry and you're having a tough time, go ahead and do something like the comic book industry is doing. And they found the little secret, the dirty little secret, I guess, is the way to put it. So, but anyway, that's I thought that was rather interesting too. Comic books, 40% profit margins, double digit growth for the past 3 years. So they've just been kind of sitting out there. Maybe if they take ads, I thought they take ads now, don't they? Obviously, they do.
I don't think so.
So, well, if they do, if they shouldn't, they should.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could get a good illustrator and a good writer. What else is your overhead other than your printing and distribution? But, you know, no surprise there that they say, you know, in hard economic times, humor and escapism is what everyone's looking for. I was getting kind of tired of turning on the TV and seeing clips from Saturday Night Live and Tina Fey, but online and DVR audiences for the three Tina Fey skits on Saturday Night Live spoofing Palin were twice the size of the original TV audience, Ray, according to data released just the other day from Integrated Media Measurement. So, you know, the spoof and all of that, I mean, everywhere you turn on programs both owned by NBC and competing with NBC was playing those bits. And then, of course, Katie Couric with her interview with Palin, the real interview, which I think is going on 30 episodes. No, I'm joking, but they sure did milk that interview on CBS. They put it online and got it all, you know, really getting it going there for Katie, who's been kind of asleep, I think, for the last year or so.
It was good TV, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
We've got Shamin Abbas with us here at the Advertising Show.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
The perceived differences between advertorial and editorial. Is there anything left that doesn't have some element of advertising? What once was known as the Chinese wall between editorial and advertising has blurred, like so many other distinctions in the age of digital media. It's shocking when you venture outside our industry and speak with clients who don't understand the distinction between editorial and advertorial content. Does anyone still really think that those 30-minute shows late at night or early in the morning on your local cable are objective television experiences that just happen to be selling something? Or that lengthy, flattering profile on your local plastic surgeon was the magazine's idea? Setting aside whether you find paid content distasteful or useful, it's the end user's perception that matters. Advertorial and infomercial advertising have a proven history of pulling in direct buyers, and they offer another benefit, control. One of the first things that we face as publicists is the client whom we've gotten media coverage, and they don't like its tone, slant, or placement. You can only give the media pitches, ideas, and information. Their internal editorial process is ultimately what dictates the outcome. And this tends to drive our clients a bit nuts. Managing those expectations is a large part of our job. Oftentimes, we are the ones who fulfill a client's contractual benefit in advertorial coverage. It's an opportunity for us and our client to control the message, the placement, and the visuals. And since we're the ones doing the writing for the media, we typically have the plenty of material for which to create advertorial content. This is a place where the ad agency and the PR firm work well together. The agency's media buyer can negotiate the best added value proposition, and we can help fulfill it. In the end, the combination of consistent media pitching and smart media buying nets the client both kinds of coverage, editorial and advertorial, reaching the broadest possible audience with multiple messages.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
So now you know. It's Shamin Abbas with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth here at the Advertising Show. And advertorial editorials is what today was all about. Nice to be with you. We've got, again, to say thank you to John Gentry, president of SpotRunner, our special guest today, SpotRunner.com. And hope you will join us next week. Tom Neverell, president and CEO of Story Brand Consulting, will be our special guest here at the Advertising Show. What do you have there?
Well, real quickly, I just wanted to mention to all people that happen to have come to our show more recently, I would like to thank you for joining us and tell a friend about the Advertising Show. We have relationships both with Captivate Network, as you mentioned, Ray, as well as Advertising Age magazine, and wherever you came to us from, wherever that might be, from anywhere around the world, over 25-30% of our audience comes from somewhere other than North America. So for all of our listeners around the world, we just wanted to say thank you for listening and tell a friend about the Advertising Show.
Yeah. Spam them.
Yeah.
Send a link. Yeah, exactly right. It's always good to have folks listening around the world as well.
And I should mention also OpenAd.net, which is a great creative service company and also a provider of advertising on behalf of the Advertising Show right there on their homepage.
And if you're not forgetting anybody, how about Shamin and Gene?
Oh, yes.
Shamin Gene. We're going to combine Shamin Gene. We're going to combine both of those features a little bit later on. It'll be fun. Anyway, hope you enjoyed the show today. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth is always available here. It's 24/7, 365, going back to 2001. A lot of incredible guests over the years, too, and they're all available as podcasts. So check that out as well at theadvertisingshow.com. You've got the time to do that, don't you? Yes, you do. Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.